10 of us. That means we gotta reach a total of 100, then.
Ryan was never that great at mental arithmetic, and his lips moved silently as he battled with the simple addition.
You say we needed 100? We got 99.
One thing he hadn't bothered to take into account was that none of them had a weapon of any sort. Charlie's forces numbered several times theirs, and they were all armed. Ryan grinned at Christy, his teeth white in the gloomy half-light.
I never cared for numbers myself.
Get out, gnome scum!
Me neither, lover.
They clambered out, blinking in the bright morning sunlight. Abe and Bob helped Danny, who cursed between gritted teeth as his broken ankle jarred against the stone top of the pit. Helga looked beyond the ring of guards to where Charlie was standing, hands on hips, watching his prisoners.
Why don't you let us splint it for him, you triple muty son of a horse-hung bastard?
Ryan felt his stomach muscles knot up in tension, waiting for the single word from the leader of the large muty gang that would inevitably trigger the bloody massacre. But Charlie stood still and calm for a moment, half smiling, head on one side. The light breeze tugged at the mop of bright ochre hair, ruffling it like Kansas wheat.
Do you hear her, my friends? Hear the words of the Norm? Proud and arrogant in her certainty and her divine rightness? You've all seen the way we are treated by the Norms, your fathers and their fathers back for generations. Since we have all come together under my leadership, have we had to put up with this Norm shit?
No!
No! And this old woman will learn that. I promise you, we shall all see her crawling and weeping before the sun has set and risen 3 times. Every one of those Norms will have died to amuse us. Then we shall have the brightest fires and the loudest explosions to celebrate their deaths. This I promise you!
Now every Sticky, young and old, was yelping and ululating, banging sticks and spoons on pots and pans. One of them fired off a musket, the puff of black powder smoke rising serenely into the air, drifting up the face of the overhanging cliff. So it looked like 3 days was to be their projected lifespan. At least it gave Ryan something to work on. Manacled in pairs, they were fed in a circle around a spluttering fire of pine branches that sparked and crackled. Ryan's left hand to Danny's right, Christy's right to the preacher's left, and so on. Ryan admired Charlie's cunning. The Sticky's leader also had their ankles chained, but in different pairs. So Ryan's right ankle was joined to Helga's left. That way, the entire group was linked, one to another, and any attempt to escape would have been utter, helpless chaos. The food was based on old Apache dishes, with beans and peppers mixed with spiced meats. Ryan felt hungry and asked for a second helping. The female Sticky serving him looked across at Charlie, who nodded agreement to the request. She ladled out a great dollop of the thick, rich stew. Her back was to Charlie, her muscular body hiding what she was doing from anyone else. The woman clumsily spilled a little of the mixture down the front of Ryan's trousers, offering him a thick-lipped half-smile of almost apology. She reached with her fingers and brushed at the dark smear, rubbing harder, the delicate suckers tugging at his pants. To his horror, Ryan found that the movement and the pressure was beginning to rouse him, against his will.
Thanks. Leave it.
Might do it proper for you later, Norm.
Her lank hair brushed against his cheek as she straightened to serve the rest of the prisoners. Her hand-woven dress hung open, revealing her heavy breasts, the dark nipples ringed with porcine bristles. Ryan's erection diminished as quickly as it had grown, leaving him feeling slightly sick. The only scant consolation was that nobody else had seen what had taken place. Charlie was content that his captives should be seen all day, setting them in the open in a long row, still chained together. He made no effort to try to force them to do any sort of work, nor were they ill-treated, which was yet another difference from any Stickies that Ryan had ever known. Normally, extreme cruelty was all that awaited anyone or anything unlucky enough to fall into their ripping hands. Deathlands was sprinkled with all kinds of muties, some of them kind and friendly, Some, like Stickies, were irredeemably brutal and vicious, always taking their greatest pleasure in the pain and anguish of others. But there was little evidence of that in the camp at the old Mesa settlement. Around the mid-part of the morning, one of the younger muties threw a stone, sly and underhand, at Danny's broken ankle, narrowly missing and striking Harold Lord on the shin. Harold tried to hop on one leg, nearly bringing everyone down on top of him. But Charlie had seen what the teenager had done and beckoned him over. The toothless mouth stretched into a smile, which never even came close to the swollen eyes.
I saw you.
The young Sticky's lips flapped together as he tried to speak. It was impossible to tell what he was trying to say, but his whole cringing body language made it obvious the youth was terrified of his leader's anger.
Hold out your right hand.
Do it.
Everyone around had stopped whatever they were doing, watching the menacing little tableau. Charlie, the Uzi slung casually across his shoulder, towered over the hunched figure of the boy.
I hope he chills the shit-eating little prick. That really hurt my leg.
You keep your mouth shut, or I'll break your neck.
If he doesn't break it, I will.
Harold shut up.
Put out your hand, Shem.
No!
Yes.
Very slowly, as though it were being drawn out by some distant but immeasurably powerful magnet, the young Sticky pushed out his arm, his hand clenched.
Good. Now put your hand over the muzzle of the blaster.
The Uzi was down at Charlie's hip, the stubby barrel pointing toward the darkening sky. His finger was on the trigger.
No!
Yes, Shem, yes. To teach a small lesson to you and everyone.
The bright start to the morning had disappeared, and the sky was a dark leaden gray, streaked with high pinkish-purple clouds. The Sticky closed his palm over the muzzle of the machine pistol, his eyes squeezed tight shut. His mouth hung open, and spittle dribbled down onto his chest.
Do what I say! No less than that and no more than that!
One of the women, watching from a few paces away, lifted her hand and slowly wiped a smear of blood from her face. Charlie reached and ripped a length off the boy's shirt, using it to clean the crimson spray and ragged shreds of flesh off the blaster. The Sticky teenager passed out, dropping like a sack of discarded clothes at his leader's bare feet. The right hand all but disappeared, a stream of blood flowing steadily from it into the orange dirt around him. Helga clapped her hands, the chains tinkling as she moved.
Well done, Charlie. Must make you real proud to be a prince among woodcutters.
Charlie sarcastically bowed and stalked away. As noon approached, the sky turned from a lead color to that of spilled ink. The lighter clouds had been swallowed into the oppressive blackness. The cooking fire seemed to blaze with a tenfold brightness in the deep gloom. At first, the rain fell in a gentle drizzle, laying the dust, beginning to trickle across the overhang above the prisoners. In less than 10 minutes, it had turned to a steady, teeming downpour.
Going to last a while.
Making tracking us real difficult.
JB was huddled inside a dark green slicker, a collar turned up in a futile effort to stop the ceaseless rain from trickling down into the small of his back. Jack hunched his shoulders. His long hair, blowing like a magnesium flare in the gloom, was plastered to his long, narrow skull. His eyes glowed like coals of fire, and his delicate fingers toyed with the hilt of one of the throwing knives that hadn't been turned over to the Stickies.
Can't be far from them.
Distance, my dear young man, is a totally relative concept. One can be a scant yard away, and yet miss by an entire universe. Or a full 1,000 miles off, and yet still be able to reach out and grasp your target.
Christina gave the old man a look that would have frozen boiling soup on a stove.
I never met anyone, Doc, that talked more damn horse shit than you do.
Madam, I must say.
Doc turned and met Christina's eyes, and his voice faded away like rainwater down a storm drain.
Doc, we're here in this endless rain, cold and wet. Two men, two women, a boy, and an old fool going after we don't even properly know what. But it took away Ryan Cotter, who is about the scariest person I ever met. Him and Christy sliced from the air. We've lost their trails.
We agreed we had to go after them.
Fuck that, John Dix! Fuck you!